CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Friday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. We set this time aside every weekday afternoon, answering questions about the Bible from the Bible, look at current events through a biblical perspective, and are we following the teachings of Jesus Christ or following the traditions of men? Hey, everybody, they're out there, and so we need to be real careful about that. When Jesus said in Luke 4, we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. How important it is then we know God's word. So if you've got a question you'd like to ask us, that number to call again, 8888-ASK-CSN. We'll do our very best to answer those questions for you. We got some lines open and you're assured to get on if you call right now. Again, 8888-ASK-CSN. Joining me today, we have with us Travis Hunt from Camas Valley Christian Fellowship, and he's the host of Looking Up for Him live Saturdays, 12:30 a.m., as well as Sundays at 2:30 in the afternoon. And so adjust your clock for that to Mountain Standard Time, and you'll be able to pick up Travis's program. Hi, and welcome.
Hey, thanks, Mike. And I just got to put a shout out. Anniversary day, 33 years with my beloved wife.
Wonderful. That's such a treasure. And it's a blessing. By now, you probably know each other fairly well. I think that's a good
actually one. Crazy, Mike. I started dating my wife when she was 13 years old. And so we have been together since I was 15 and she was 13. We literally grew up together and now we're growing old together.
Wow. And that's a pretty cool thing when you're
when
you're able to do that. And so, well, congratulations. Really a good report. What you teaching on this Sunday?
Oh, we're wrapping up 2 Samuel 24, just talking about the importance of not counting your strength before the Lord, which is what David did, you know, at the very end. The last thing that, you know, in 2 Samuel 23, they talk about all these mighty men, these amazing guys that did these amazing things with David. And then the very next chapter, it says, and by the way, David wanted to know how strong he really was. So he counted Israel. And the amazing thing, Mike, that really grabbed me that I'm kind of focusing on is David's heart condemned him before God said anything to him. No prophets, no plagues. David, just his heart condemned him, and he went to the Lord and said, Lord, I have sinned. And I just thought about how important it is that we listen to what God is saying in our hearts, you know, guiding us, accusing or excusing, and leading us through our conscience, how valuable that was. And that's why David was a man after God's own heart. Not because he was perfect, but because he was so sensitive to what pleased the Lord.
So wonderful. What time service?
It starts at 10. Yeah. And usually done about 1. We have a long teaching service and then a whole bunch of fellowship afterwards.
Well, that's a fun thing. And so once again, just if you're in the area, I know he'd love to see you there. What's the address?
It is 1387 Highway 42, Camas Valley, Oregon. We are just between Roseburg and the coast.
So if you're in the area, I know we'd love to see you. And if you're in the Southern Idaho area, I'd love to see you here at the River Christian Fellowship in Twin Falls. Starts at 10 o'clock in person, 10:30 on the radio, on all the CSN radio stations, and of course on the internet around the world. We're going to be talking about being thankful. And we're going to zoom in on the 10 lepers. And how leprosy is a type of sin, and that disease numbs us to what's really going on around us. We're going to talk about that this Sunday, and so if you're here, love to see you. Again, I'd love to meet you, especially if you're listening from a long distance away. We always love to meet our radio audience, and so look forward to seeing you at 10 o'clock Sunday morning here at the River Christian Fellowship, Twin Falls, Idaho. Follow the signs to Shoshone Falls, and you'll find us here. Very quickly, we had a caller asking about how do we know what God wants us to do? We lost the call, but I think maybe we'll be getting that back. Anyway, how do we know what God wants us to do? Your thoughts, Travis.
Well, I like to go to understanding God's will. You know, obviously, if it's written, right, Mike? If it's written down and God says, do this, then we don't have to wonder. And there are multiple places where it says, this is the will of God. One is our sanctification. Another one is that we would rejoice always. These are things that we know God has said to do. So we can know that's the will of God. According to his word, we know it's the will of God. But I really like the scripture in Colossians that says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And so that word for rule is to make decisions of right and wrong. And so when I'm faced with a decision, I will sit and I will wait before the Lord until I can really find peace. And for me, practically, you know, what does it mean to find peace? Practically, it means I will ask before the Lord, I will say, Lord, okay, if this is an utter failure and I've made decision A and it's an utter failure, will I doubt that I did what you wanted? And if the answer is yeah, I would doubt. Well, Romans says that which was not done with faith is sin. He who doubts is condemned, it says, but that which was without faith is sin. And so if the other one, I won't make a decision until it's okay if it's an utter failure and I still have peace with God, then I know it's really just about following the Lord and not about the outcome. And so that's how I make a decision on what to do before the Lord when I'm stuck with a difficult decision.
Yeah, we've got Betty back from Illinois. Betty, we're attempting to answer your question. Are we getting close?
Yes, sir. So I'm so sorry my daughter called. A little. So I guess I could ask it a little bit more specific.
Okay.
So I have been praying for a while now as it relates to just better understand.
We lost you, dear. The wonderment of cell phones. I don't know, Betty, let me know, control, when she's back. We're sorry, Betty, that it dropped out. So it just does that. Now, one of the things that I'd like to add to this is, how do we know if God wants us to do something? I think there's several things. I think, number one, that we see the need. You know, the Bible says the fields are white with harvest, but the laborers are few. And I don't think you realize how few laborers there are in the last days until you're out in the wheat field hacking away at the weeds. You go, where is everybody? So I think a lot of times when we see something that God wants us to do, there's a stirring in our heart to action. I believe that is a really important part, that it follows God's word. The second thing is, I believe God provides the means to do that. And I've seen many times that people have these ideas, but there's no real way of accomplishing it, at least except for my super divine miracle. And I've often said, well, if that's what God wants you to do, then look for that super divine miracle. But, you know, sometimes it's just, gosh, why doesn't this church have a nursery? All they need is somebody to watch the kids. And golly, I'd do that. I'd say maybe God is calling you into doing that. I think that a lot of times God reveals to us what the needs are, so we can be part of the solution, not part of the condemnation or saying, well, what's wrong with this church? I'm having something like, you know, no, it's that God is showing you the need for it. I remember years ago, people have asked me, well, what motivated you to get into Christian radio? And I said, because I didn't like Christian radio, because it was miracle wallets and endless telethons and begathons. And I just go, you know, Jesus is not in the bread line. Brothers and sisters, will you keep Jesus off of welfare for one more week? That's right, with your donation, we can stay on the air for another week and Jesus won't be eating bread and out of the bread line anymore. I mean, this is the kind of stuff. And meanwhile, there's a violin playing in the background. And I'm going, man, what is this? We have King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And, you know, God moves on all of us to support what he wants to, instead of being manipulated. And I saw that and I just go, God, there's got to be something that can be done to reach a generation without trying to pickpocket them. And so that's why you don't hear begathons on CSN because we just don't believe in that. I believe, as Chuck Smith taught many years ago when I used to go to the tent, where God guides, God provides. And the Bible, though not a Bible verse, it is very biblical because that's how we know God's will for our life. That's how we know what God wants us to do. And I think another thing, the third thing, is that if we see something out of the ordinary, sometimes that's where God gets our attention for what he wants us to do, such as Moses seeing the burning bush, such as the Samaritan woman looking at Jesus saying, why are you asking, talking to me? I'm a Samaritan, you're a Jew, we have no conversation. She recognized that was out of the ordinary. When you see things out of the ordinary, look for God, because I believe that's a lot of times how God opens our eyes to see the need around us. And so I want to be careful to oftentimes be careful in being angry with something, for that may be the very place where God is trying to get me to respond to a need. So, Betty, are you with us?
I'm here, sir.
Wonderful. Okay, we got you back. I hope that shed a little more light on it for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much. I really do appreciate it. And yes, I will continue to just pray and to look for the Lord in those in ordinary ways. So,
well, you know, the Bible says, Betty, knock and it will be opened unto you. Seek and you will find. And I believe these are so important because this is how we find God's will for our life. Asking, seeking, and knocking. Now, when I'm knocking on a door and it doesn't open, I don't want to make up a verse that says, behold, I stand at the door and pick the lock. If that door doesn't open, then God's got another door he wants me to go through. And the word in the Greek there for ask, seek, and knock is continuous, repetitious. In other words, well, okay, I got my marching orders, God. Talk to you 5 years. No, I want to be asking God every day for his daily battle plan in that which he's called me to do. And I don't want to rely on yesterday's manna to sustain me for today. I want to say, okay, God, your promises are new every morning. Why did David say that? Because we need that fresh revival in our souls each day. And to cause us to be sensitive to his spirit, to see what and how God will use us in many different areas. So in other words, we may be, God might show us a need. We start responding to that need. And then as we're responding to that need, God shows us more things that we can do for the kingdom, all because we ask, seek, and knock. Betty, I hope that answers it for you, dear.
Hey, Mike, can I add a little something before she goes?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I had a question, just a real quick thought. In your decision-making, we never did get to hear kind of what the question was you were trying to decide. So I would just share with you. Do you remember Matthew 23 when the person came to Jesus and said, what's the great commandment, right? Which is the greatest of all the commandments? Do you remember what he answered, Betty? The greatest
love
of all
the
commandments.
Lord with all your heart. Yes. Love the Lord with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself.
That's right.
Right. So those are the two commandments. They were, and he said they're the same material, loving God and then mm-hmm. loving your neighbor, but loving God first. And so in your decision-making, it's really good if you take the time to sit down and say, Lord, which one of these decisions, right or left, is my act of loving you more? And then, you know, the second question is, Lord, which one of these decisions is loving other people more than I love myself? And usually it takes time. That's why you have to pray through decisions, because usually it takes time to actually deal with yourself, because you don't want mm-hmm. to do it, because usually it's hard or sacrificial or not for your own glory. And internally you struggle with that. But if you can wait on those two commandments, God will guide you in making the right decision.
Mm-hmm. So I hope that answers it for you, Betty.
Yes, that was extremely helpful. Thank you so much. Yes, I do. And I definitely needed to hear this. So thank you.
Betty, do you have a DVD player?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to send you some DVDs I think you'll really enjoy. Great for evangelism. And I'll send you a little book called Time to Grow for calling in. So you stay on the line, and I think you're going to enjoy that. And if you need more, let me know, because we're here for you. Anytime you need us, Betty, just give us a call. And I think you'll really like these. God of Wonders. It's done like National Geographic, how God made everything. There's a real purpose for everything. It is not a talking head. It's actually great photography. You can have somebody that's even not saved watch it, and they'll go, wow, that's pretty amazing. And then I'll send you the book of Luke, the movie Jesus, based on the book of Luke, and then this little book called Time to Grow Great, to just for evangelism. So stay online. We'll get you taken care of. 8888. Ask CSN is the number to call. If you want to be part of the program, we're going to go to Matilda in Spokane, Washington. Hi, and welcome.
Hi. I have a question in Revelation.
Yes.
First of all, I want to just say I really appreciate your ministry. Oh, God bless you. And so Revelation 20 talks about the millennial reign, and then it talks about the loosing of Satan for like four verses.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just that little span, that little part, and then it goes to the great white throne judgment, and then to the New Jerusalem. So I'm wondering about that, the loosing of Satan, those seven, those four verses. If you can expound and just give me some insight
sure.
into that.
Yes,
we
know that during the millennial reign of Christ, Satan will be bound in hell for almost 1,000 years. Now, you have to remember, everybody has lived on this planet during the millennial reign. We as saints, those that have died in faith, those that died during the tribulation period in faith, beheaded for their faith, we will be ruling and reigning with Christ. That's we're part of his administration, if you will. The devil is bound for almost 1,000 years. But because man has lived in a perfect environment, a perfect world, perfect food, perfect government, God gives them an opportunity to choose, did you enjoy all these things, or were you really a believer in Christ? And so Satan is loosed, and he goes out, and he deceives the nations. Now, it is interesting to me that here people have lived in a perfect environment, perfect world, for 1,000 years nearly, and when they're given the opportunity to rebel against the Lord, they do. This is why I think Jesus said to a high-ranking religious leader in John chapter 3, marvel not that I say to you, you must be born again. There is something wrong inside of man. We have an old sin nature, and we're under a curse. And even people in the millennial reign still are in a body that's under a curse. Now, God reverses a lot of the problems that happened in the fall of man in the garden. But man's heart is still desperately wicked above all things, who can know it. And so when people are actually presented with an opportunity to accept or reject Christ, as sand is on the seashore, the Bible says in those verses that you're reading, it says a tremendous army comes against Jesus and his saints to make war with him. Now, we don't find a big war. We don't find bazookas and cannons and airplanes. No, it says with a word, they're destroyed. Here they've lived in the gloriousness of the kingdom age. And in all that, rather than being thankful, they rebel against God, and then the Bible says everything goes into the great white throne judgment. The books are opened. Those names that are not found written in the book of life are cast in the lake of fire, which burns forever. And it doesn't matter if the Jehovah's Witnesses say, oh, no, it's annihilation. No, read the book of Jude. Stop listening to religion. Read the book of Jude. It says they will suffer the vengeance of eternal fire forever. That is not annihilation. Well, how could a loving God send people to hell forever? Don't judge God according to your peanut brain. The Bible clearly says that rebellion to God, like witchcraft, carries a punishment. And it's serious. And again, having lived in the glory, the presence of Jesus Christ on this earth for 1,000 years, and then wanting to make war against him? Wow. No, that's what it means. Satan is loosed for 1,000. He's loosed at the end of 1,000 years, and he goes out to deceive the nations. I can't imagine what the world would kind of be like up to those, till the time he's released, where there is. Now, you got to remember, the heart of man is still evil, but there won't be the suggestion power and the demonic control. I believe this is what's happening right now in our world, not just in America. where it's okay to chop up little children. When you have a governor in Minnesota that is giving children in the schools dolls with removable sex parts. This is so perverted, everybody. It is so bizarre that this is where we're headed. And then you have a group, the Democrat Socialists of America, saying they want to do away with the Supreme Court. They want to do away with the Senate. They want to do away with the police departments. Do you know what kind of anarchy you would have? Look at the anarchy we have right now with the police departments, with the ICE and those trying to round up all these criminals that have invaded our nation. And they want to get rid of all this in the name of a utopian world? I mean, they're reading this right out of Hell's Playbook. And it's amazing. I don't know for the life of me how these people are not picked up for treason and locked away. We're not talking freedom of speech here, friends. We're talking anarchy. And that's what it's going to be. And unless somebody wakes up here and does something, America is on the rails with the pedal to the metal to civil war. Do you think that people like all of us, all of a sudden, they're going to come in and just nationalize everything? You're just a worker bee for the government. We're going to take away your homes and all these things because it's for the betterment. No, I can tell you, I know enough rednecks, this ain't going to go well. And so this is why I'm telling everybody, work for the night is coming. I do believe Jesus Christ is coming soon to take his church home.
Amen.
And then
Amen.
The world's going to get what it always wanted, a world without God. Wow. And the Bible says within 7 years, he will come close to completely annihilating himself. You will never have global peace without the Prince of Peace. And when Satan is locked away, man might be able to make some rational decisions. But still, there's that old sin nature where Jesus said, you must be born again. And just because a person is living in the millennia doesn't mean they're right with God. And so Satan is offered to them, who's your daddy? Who are you going to follow? And it's amazing how many people are still duped by the lie of the underworld. And again, we just see the importance. As John said in Revelation 22, even so come quickly, Lord Jesus. I believe that more than anything, this is where our hope lies. I can't look at the political scene and get spazzed out. All I can say is, okay, Lord, every day with you, let's go full bore. Any last thoughts?
Yeah, so Mike, I would just throw in probably, Matilda, your biggest question about the loosing of Satan might center around, remember, during the millennium, there are people who have not been regenerate. Zechariah chapter 14 talks about the millennium and actually says these words in verse 16. It shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem, so they were the ones in the time of the tribulation who did not receive the mark, because the scriptures say if you receive the mark, it's over. But those who did not receive the mark, but they were actually alive during the tribulation, they make it into the millennium. And then Isaiah 65:20 says something happens. It actually says that people live longer, like it during the time prior to Noah, right? It says an infant shall not only live but a few days. And in fact, a child will still be 100 years old. And so there's this thing that happens. These people are not regenerated. They have not yet chosen to follow Jesus. So there's this amazing period of power and grace that the Lord has. According to scriptures, Jesus said he is going to rule the nations with a rod of iron. That's Revelation chapter 12, verse 5, talks about the male child who's going to rule all nations. And Revelation 2 says those who follow Jesus get to be with him and rule the nations with a rod of iron. And so for 1,000 years, God is in total control through Jesus Christ. In fact, even talks about in the scriptures, I think it's also in Zechariah, that it says that if they don't come and worship the king, then they will have rain restrained from them. Yeah, it's Zechariah 14, 18. If Egypt decides not to come and worship the king in Jerusalem, they'll have no rain. And so the Lord is going to control the environment, give them the perfect environment. And as Pastor Mike just said, but still the heart is corrupt, according to Jeremiah 17. So it proves that you don't need a perfect society to fix you. You need God, as Jesus said, to be born again. And so after a perfect environment where they weren't allowed to break the rules, then at the very end, they still have to make a decision. And so they're given an option. And so just like for you and I now, where Satan is loosed, he will be loosed for a period of time, and people will make their decision. And then the end comes, the great white throne judgment and a new heaven and a new earth. And so the reason for the releasing of Satan is because for 1,000 years, they've had perfect society under a perfect savior and king, and yet that will not save you. Each person must choose. And so God releases Satan to give them that choice.
So I hope that that answers it for you.
It does. Okay, so I just want to know where God's children are during this time.
What do you mean? God's children, they're going to be a people. There's going to be believers during the millennial reign of Christ that, in fact, do believe in Jesus. Those that leading up to the millennial reign of Christ, if you were a believer, you'll be ruling and reigning with him, as the Bible says. Any last thoughts?
Yeah, it's a mixed group. So you and I will have been raptured or died to go to that millennium, and we will be there in our glorified bodies. But there will be people who did not choose Jesus yet survive the tribulation. They are the ones who are still having children and growing old. You and I will be like the Lord.
So I hope that answers it for you.
Okay, thank you so much.
God bless you, dear. Stay in line if you like. Send you out a little book called Time to Grow. You might enjoy that. Share it with your friends, of course. And if you need more, just let us know. We're here for you. And we're going to have a whole lot more coming up after the break. And if you want to be part of the program, 8888-ASK-CSN is the number to call. We got some lines open. You're sure to get on if you call. And so we'll be back for more right after this.
This year, America celebrates its 250th birthday, 2.5 centuries of courage, innovation, faith, and freedom. But what will the next 250 years hold? The next generation could hold the next Billy Graham, the next Rosa Parks, the next Ronald Reagan, the next child whose life will impact generations. But first, they must be given the chance to live.
I couldn't imagine my life without him. Because of them, he's here. We're going to get through it, and it's going to be okay.
Every day, Preborn Network clinics help mothers facing unexpected pregnancies discover hope through a free ultrasound. When a mother sees her baby and hears that tiny heartbeat, her baby is twice as likely to be given the gift of life. Which story will you help write for the next generation? To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN.
Hey, I'm Brant, and her name is Sherry.
Hello.
She's a friend of mine whom we were just praying for because of a surgery she just went through.
Yes, and I am very happy about something you actually talk about all the time, which is
MediShare.
That is right.
Yeah. So what was your experience like with MediShare and the healthcare bills?
Honestly, Brant, seamless. And what a blessing that is when you're already nervous about a health issue, which I was.
Yeah.
Members shared my expenses. There were zero problems. And let me tell you, having people pray with you when you call in with your need, that is just...
It is refreshing.
Yes, that's what it is.
But yeah. I keep telling people, love MediShare, and they love saving tons of money, too. The typical family can save $500 a month.
I am very thankful for MediShare. It is so different, and I mean different in a very, very good way.
It is good different. Call now. They're easy to talk to, and you can get a price within 2 minutes. Call 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
And we're back, part two of Every Man Answer on this Friday afternoon. And again, we want to once again encourage you to give us a call. 8888-ASK-CSN is the number to call. With us, we have with Travis Hunt from Camas Valley Christian Fellowship. We're by Roseburg, Oregon, and I know he'd love to see you this Sunday. If you're out and around, love to see you here at the River Christian Fellowship. Starts at 10 o'clock in person. And again, we're going to be looking at the 10 lepers and its significance. Oh, man, I'll tell you, there's a lot there. So bring your Bible. You'll be using them. Back to the phones we go. We have Carlos on the line, Charleston, South Carolina. Hi, and welcome.
Oh, hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Man, I love you guys.
Well, glad you called, and how may we help?
Yes, sir. So you know how the church gets raptured, and then there's the, you know, the tribulation.
Yes.
And, you know, the saints that are martyred, and they also get saved, and they also, you know, they have white robes and all that. I can't remember the Bible verse. I'm so sorry. I thought I was going to talk to the other guy first and get myself ready. So anyways, so do they share in the same kind of reward as the church does, like the raptured church, or does the raptured church, I know we get the marriage supper of the Lamb, but do they kind of get any other benefits?
Are you talking about the tribulation? Are you talking about the tribulation saints?
Yes, thank you. I was trying to remember what that was called. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, it is interesting because the Bible says they have a separate place for a while. Now, eventually, they will join the rest of the church. But we find this in Revelation chapter 6. In Revelation chapter 6, it talks about those that were martyred. And it says here, he opened the fifth seal. I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they had. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O holy Lord, O holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood to those who dwell on the earth? A white robe was given to them. This is what you said earlier, to each of them. And it was said to them, and here it is, that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow saints and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. So they are in a little bit different place than the raptured saints. But from what we read, it sounds that when Jesus comes back, sets up his millennial reign, that they will be ruling and reigning with Christ as well. This is why I believe that Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me. Jesus said, count it that you'd be counted worthy to escape all these things. That's why I've had people say, oh, well, you know, if I miss the rapture, I'll just go in the tribulation as a martyr. Listen, if you don't want to live for Jesus now when things are good, why are you going to die for Jesus when things are tough? So I really believe that there is a blessing in being ready. I feel sorry for the churches that say, well, Jesus is not coming to the middle of the tribulation or the end of the tribulation. You have some really radical goofy who's out there that say, well, Jesus ain't coming back at all, which is not what the Bible says at all. As in the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Matthew chapter 24, they were eating, drinking, marrying, given in marriage. That is not what the second coming of Christ is like. Second coming of Christ, if you read chapter 16 on in the bold judgments, mere survival is all man is going to have. And again, Jesus said, unless those days were shortened, there'd be nobody left alive. It isn't eat, drink, and be merry. But at the time of the rapture, it was, because he says, as in the days of Noah were, carelessness. You go up to people, hey, Jesus is coming back. They don't go when, they go why. Hey, you know, party time. Well, it's kind of the way it is right now. The world does not realize they're on the brink of a worldwide, global, godly judgment. And the people in Noah's day did not realize they were on the brink of a worldwide, global judgment of God called the flood. See, it's the same way. That's the rapture of the church. The second coming of Christ, the Bible says, every eye will see him. See, Jesus said, behold, I come as a thief. That's sneaky. This is where Jesus calls and we go up to meet him in the air. The second coming of Christ, Jesus comes back to this earth to rule and reign. There's a complete different direction that we find. But the Bible says that the tribulation saints who are martyred for their faith will be included, I believe, in his administration. Your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, it's important to note in Revelation 20, they are specifically mentioned as being a part of the first resurrection. He says in Revelation 20, I saw thrones and they sat on them and judgment was committed to them. And here it is. Then I saw the souls. Notice it doesn't say bodies. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshiped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So they're specifically mentioned as making it into the tribulation, or making it into the millennium. But the thing I kind of want to point out is they do have a special blessing, Carlos. We don't really know what it is, but turn to Revelation 2:10 real quick and look what it says in Revelation 2:10. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, which all of these people were, and I will give you the crown of life. There's a very specific crown given to the martyrs. It's actually called a martyr's crown by some in seminary. And so that is a special gift that God gives to them that is only available for them who give their life up for the faith they have in Jesus. So yes, they are blessed, and they are, as Mike said, they are resting. They're resting during the tribulation, no more suffering. They're waiting for the millennium.
And that martyr's crown transcends not just the tribulation period, but I believe all the way back to the very... That's for anyone that has been martyred. There's a special reward for those that love God and didn't love their own life unto death. And so I believe that's why we find that. Carlos, hope that helps.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And if you guys don't mind, I was a prayer request. My
sure.
daughter was diagnosed with LCH, multi-system LCH. We've been getting a lot of prayer, you know, beforehand. We were in the waiting process with our insurance to try to get another specialist to kind of take over and be her caretaker. But we're praying for a miraculous healing, a complete healing over her, but also whatever God's will is, that's what we will follow. So we do pray. We are praying for, you know, a complete healing. She's getting a PET scan that it's not scheduled yet, but it's going to be scheduled. And we're just, you know, they already removed a skull. She had a craniotomy and they had a skull lesion removed. And so that was great, you know, because hopefully that was the only thing. Her pituitary stalk was affected, so it was thickened. And
Carlos, how old is she?
Her name is Hadassah, and she is 2 years old.
Oh, my. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. You love children, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Lord, we ask you to reach your hand. Father, Daddy who heals, please heal this little girl. Touch her body. Lord, give doctors wisdom. But Lord, you're the one that has to do the miracle. And so we pray that you would raise this little girl up, completely deliver. Thank you for the love of Father Carlos that called to ask for prayer. And so, Lord, we just lift this little girl to you and say, Father, do your very, very best for her in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen.
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 Carlos, our heart and prayers are with you. Expect a miracle. That's what I tell people anymore. We have a miracle work. You know, I feel bad for these different organizations, churches that say, oh, the miracles ceased with the apostles. The gifts of the Spirit ceased with the apostles. Well, I got some real troubling news for you guys. They didn't start with the apostles. Miracles are all the way through the Bible. Signs and wonders follow those that believe. And since it didn't start in Acts chapter 2, why would it stop at the last chapter of the book of Acts or 325 or 350 AD? It doesn't make any sense. Miracles are part of those who love God. Whether it's Moses parting the Red Sea, whether you have fire coming down from heaven in the case of Elijah and the prophets of Baal, where did people get the idea that God isn't a miracle-working God anymore? Man, I'm sure that's a lie the devil would like to keep into everybody's mind, is that God doesn't do miracles anymore. But you know what? Our God does. And I just want to encourage you, Carlos, just expect a miracle. God's a good God. And to live is Christ, to die is gain. It's in his hands, and you're in his hands, and your family is in his hands. So be encouraged, okay?
Thank you so much. I love you guys. And if I don't get to see you in this lifetime, I can't wait to, you know, be physically praising God one day.
Hey, we'll all be hanging out. You know, that's one thing neat about eternity and no night there. We never have to go home, and we can just have one giant family reunion throughout all of eternity. I look forward to that, and it's going to be grand. Carlos, stay on the line, send you a couple things, our prayers are with you. And let us know how it all works. 8888, Ask CSN, and we have Richard on the line, Austin, Texas. Hi, and welcome.
Hello, how you doing, Pastor?
Good. How may we help?
Good, good. I just had a question about the Nephilim.
Mm-hmm.
I heard a pastor say one time that the Nephilim didn't have genitalia to go into the women on earth to bring forth the giants. But then I heard a pastor say, yes, they did, and that's how the giants came into being. If you could just explain that to me, if they were able to or they weren't able to, and where the giants came from.
Well, the giants were already here before whoever the sons of God were. Let's just read this together. Yeah, I don't want you to take my word for it, because there's so much fantasy, unfortunately, that it surrounds Genesis chapter 6. Now, let me just read this. It says, now it came to pass when the men began to multiply on the earth, daughters were born to them. Yeah, that happens. We understand that. And the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and took wives for themselves, all whom they chose. Now, sons of God, there's more references of the sons of God in the Bible concerning human beings than there is angels. This doesn't set well with some people, but that's the fact. Now, we do find sons of God in the book of Job, referring to angelic beings. But we also find in the book of John, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, to as many as them that would believe on, literally, Jesus' name. So we do know that this can also apply to men. But notice, it says, of who they choose. And the Lord says, my spirit shall not always strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, and his days shall be 120 years. Now, here we have a real problem, and we have a tremendous clue. It says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Notice it does not say flesh and part angel. Now, that's, I think, very important to look at. Now, notice, there were giants on the earth in those days. And then it's caught a comma. This is all in the Hebrew as well. It says there were giants on the earth in those days and also afterward when the sons of God came into the daughters of men. The giants were already here before there was any children born, whoever the sons of God are. That's what it says. There's no way you can take it to a third grade English teacher, take it to an attorney. They're going to tell you the giants were already here before the sons of God, whoever they were, had any relationship with women. This is what they are missing. And it's all there in the Bible. Then, golly, if we only had a commentary in the Bible about this exact passage. Oh, but we do. And who do we have that commentary from? Jesus himself. It's found in Matthew chapter 24. It says, as in the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. They were eating, drinking, marrying, having wild sex orgies with angels. No, it doesn't say that. It says they were eating, drinking, marrying, and given in marriage. And the flood came. We remember that they died in the flood. It never mentions any type of angelic inner relationship whatsoever. I think that's pretty important, Because especially when you have some of these teachers going around saying, well, that's why God brought the flood on the earth, was because their DNA was corrupted. Wow, let's just get out Mad Magazine and add that to scripture too, because it's not made, it's not in the Bible, it's made up. So we have a real problem here. Jesus said the reason why the flood came on the earth was not corrupted DNA. It's that people were doing whatever they wanted to do. Okay, let's go back to this. And they took for themselves wives of whom they chose. Think about this for a minute, everybody. How many people do you know that were single, love God, walking with the Lord, fruit in their life, started dating a worldly guy or a worldly girl, and now they're no longer even walking with God? They're partying with the hardy. Well, I believe it's the same thing. Notice whom they chose. Not who God would choose for them, but who they chose. Look, I'm not trying to bring in other books. And you'll always find this with all these people. They'll be bringing in the Book of Enoch. They'll be bringing in Mad Magazine. They'll be bringing in Reader's Digest. They'll be bringing in all these books. I'm not trying to do that. I'm telling you, let's read what the Bible says, what Jesus said, and bring our conclusions there. Again, John 1, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, to as many as them that would believe on his name. Again, the sons of God, you'll find that reference many times in the Bible, and it refers to human beings more than it does to angelic beings. Now, again, when we look at this, the giants were already on the earth. How did this happen? Probably selective breeding. Russia tried it in the mid-50s. You're a real tall 6'4" girl, and here's a 6'7" guy. Now go have some super babies and to build an army of super giants. That was their idea. Didn't work. But people try to do that kind of stuff. And I don't know what kind of genetic mutations were before the flood either. I believe that people were really tall. I believe these giants weren't like just 8 foot tall. I believe they could have been really tall because of the pyramid, the Great Pyramid. To this day, they really don't know how they built it. I've seen a lot of theories. It doesn't make any sense. The Sphinx, as an example, here's another one. The damage on the Sphinx everywhere except the head is up and down, vertical, water damage. The head is disproportionate to the rest of the body. The Egyptians didn't make the Sphinx. They recarved it. And it's very possible that the Great Pyramid and the Sphinx were from the world that perished. See, we don't know. But the thing is, we do know that there has been giants on the land. We see them today sometimes. Andre the Giant, he was a big guy, kind of into movies and wrestling and those kinds of things. We see it all over the world. But it seems that there was a race of giants on the earth before whoever the sons of God are made it with humans. And it appears to me that I think the sons of God is referring to the descendants of Seth, that God said that to Eve that her seed would bruise Satan's head. And I really believe that, again, we have to be careful when we add to God's word. And almost every person that goes to the moon on Genesis 6 always quotes non-biblical sources. Friends, right there, that's a flaming red warning sign. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I would just say, Richard, that the use of the word Nephilim that you are using there, the Nephilim are actually the giants. That's the word Nephal is in reference to those giants. And they were human people who were really big. I think maybe the question that you have, and it's kind of a question that's out there. And that is, you're probably speaking, what are angels like? And can they physically be like people? And I would remind you in Genesis 18, the angels came with the Lord, who also was in a human body, and ate with Abraham. So they digested food and they were able to do that as well. And in Hebrews 13, it actually says, you know, you could actually entertain a person, have a stranger in your house, take care of them, have conversation with them, and you would never know they were an angel. In every way, they look human. And so angels can take on human bodies, if that's, or at least what looks to be a human body. And that's probably the core of your question.
Yeah, and then it would go back to another question. If God put sexual parts on an angel, and we find Jesus says there is no marriage in heaven, but as the angels are, that creates a problem, because there we find God putting equipment on angelic beings that would never be used. There's a lot of issues here that come up over this, because again, and that does mean Nephilim, does mean giants. But notice it goes on and says, and I didn't finish this, and I want to do this, because it says, and the sons of God came into the daughters of men and bore children to them. Those were mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Now, again, this is important, because again, men of renown, I know a lot of men of renown today. I think of Elon Musk. I think of some of these world leaders and shakers. Those are men of renown. You take biblical principles and mix them in, even in worldly businesses, and you'll be a success. Koch and the whole McDonald's thing. I'm going to make a little bit of money off a lot of people. And we have McDonald's, a tremendous success. But other businesses saying, boy, we're going to skin this guy when he comes through the door for every dime we can get out of him. You're not a servant. You're trying to take this person for everything they are. Bible says, if you want to be great, be a servant. So when we apply business principles from God's word into our business, I'm going to be a servant. I'm just going to take a little from everybody so that everybody will get a good deal. Hey, listen, your business thrives. That's the way God's plan works. And so I look at this very importantly, because again, Jesus, then I just want to read this to you, verse 5, because this is so important. This is why God destroyed the earth, as I mentioned earlier. And the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of his thoughts, of his heart, was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he'd made man. Now, it doesn't say they had corrupted DNA. You know, they're boogieing with the angels. No, it says every thought was evil continually. Have you looked at your movies lately coming out on the movie house, which entertains America and the rest of the world? Have you seen the wickedness that goes on? You see, I believe that we're entering this same genre globally, that what is good is evil, what is evil is good. And for some reason, the people sit back and applaud these terrible things. Again, can you imagine a world without any kind of police restraint? Can you imagine a world without any kind of Congress or judges to determine what is good and evil? Everybody will do right in their own eyes. And it's a very wicked thing. And when you have people come along and promise you the sky, vote for me, everything is free, no more police, no more bills, no more. This is what they told the people in Colombia and Venezuela that finally got delivered. These lies. And these people believe this stuff because they don't know how to think anymore. They know what to think because they've been told. They don't know how to think. Well, where's all this money for all this free stuff going to come from? And the entire nation goes broke. I shared this yesterday. American news media won't report this, but 60% of all people in Russia under socialism, communism, 60% of all people that live outside of the cities have outdoor plumbing. They have outhouses. That's how backwards it is. Oh, we're the party of the working class. No, you're not. You're the party of the layabouts that want to take from people who will work. That's what they're about. No, so just to tell you, the Nephilim, who are they? I believe that they were just people on the earth, And as and there may have been more through as you mentioned, Travis, but I believe that you know, as Jesus said, when they said in heaven, whose wife will she be? He says, you err not knowing the scripture. There's neither marriage nor given in marriage, but as the angels are. I think it's really important that we understand that. And again, God gave to man the ability to procreate. You never find that anywhere in the Bible concerning angels. They are messengers, warriors, protectors, but they don't have the gift of procreation. Interesting. Something to think about. We're all out of time. Richard, hope that answers it for you. Travis, thanks for being on. Look forward to being back with you. So until then, may the Lord keep you in his love. Have a safe weekend. Good night.
To receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.